This show was first broadcast on Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. For more information on our lineup of shows and the role we play in the media, visit freefm.org.nz.
Greetings, I am Barry. If you're searching for answers, spiritual help, clairvoyant readings, healings, crystals, books, incense, or jewellery, you need to go to Infinity, Hamilton Spiritual Centre, in the new premises at 550 Anglesey Street, or you can phone us on 838 1838. This is your link between this life and the next. Become the change the world needs today. Greetings, I am Barry. This is the voice within for another week. You hear people talking about channeling and getting messages from beyond this plane. This is a lady called Susan Geisman, and she's explaining how she started to channel. In 1987 was my first experience with channeling, and then for a whole year I listened to channeling every week. But it was in 1983 that Babs Miller started channeling and brought all these messages through here in Hamilton, New Zealand.
So, mediumship is communicating with loved ones who have passed, in general. I do one-on-one mediumship. Tonight we're going to have a wonderful demonstration of those who do gallery readings and platform demonstrations. But all of it is for the healing that it provides. Yes, we want to prove the continuity of consciousness, but what is it we all want to know? We all want to know that our loved ones are still with us, that when we pass, we're going to still survive, that they're going to greet us. So the healing that comes from mediumship is tremendous. In 1 hour, one session with someone, you can change their whole life. Trust me, that's how I got on this path. Went to a medium who absolutely proved to us, your Susan's right here in the room, and it turned my world upside down. Here we are. So there are two worlds. You walk in both worlds at once. All it takes is intention. Well, number one, belief that that world is there, and then the intention to connect with it, and then the shift in focus, and you're aware of that world. I make it sound really easy. My workshop on Sunday, I'll show you the seven steps that I take to get to that place. But mediumship versus channeling. Now, channeling happens in some readings when the blending is so complete with that spirit that I just let them talk. And it's amazing when the parent says, my God, that's their intonation. Those are the words that they use. And I say, yes, that's because it is them. They're speaking right through me. So that can happen in a regular reading, but channeling is when we tap into higher beings or loved ones, but in a deeper state of awareness, a more expanded state of awareness. The medium gets out of the way, and those on the other side simply speak. It's a cooperative engagement in which the medium is not controlled, but surrenders enough to allow that experience for others to have that experience as well. So what is the point of channeling? Well, it's okay. Einstein said, no problem was ever solved at the level at which it originated. Where are all your problems? Right here. In the physical world, right? So wouldn't it be awesome when you have a question, a challenge, to just get an answer from the higher perspective? We can do that at will anytime just by shifting our focus. That's what I talk about in my workshops and all of my teaching. But with channeling, it's just a continuous flow of guidance, advice, wisdom from the higher perspective, from the higher realms. And it's pretty awesome stuff that comes through. I hope you've probably read some channel words from Abraham with Esther Hicks, from the Seth books. Paul Selig has put out a wonderful series of books. You can feel the energy in those books. Of Course in Miracles is channeled. There are other books like that. When I read those books, a book carries the energy of the author or the source. And you can tell right away, this is legitimate channeling. Okay. It gives us access to wisdom, to guidance, to insights that we normally wouldn't have access to. Since I've been channeling, I have lost count of how many pages and pages and pages of this kind of wisdom that we have. My guides, we've taped every single session that I've done, and we began transcribing them but it just became futile because there were just too many pages. So one download that I got in particular is available on my home page at suzannegeisman.com, just to show you what's the point. I had had an afterlife researcher, Dr. Kenneth Ring, some of you may have read his book, Lessons in the Light, who talks about people who have had near-death experiences. And we were engaged in a nice email exchange for quite some time, and he said, Suzanne, what do those in your readings tell you it's like on the other side? And I said, well, Dr. Ring, you know, I'm so evidence-based and that those on the other side try to tell me what they're doing, but I can't trust it. What if I'm wrong? This was several years ago. And I said, so a few people tell me little things, but I don't have a big picture of what it's like. And I was disappointed in that. And I came to a conference at this hotel several years ago and had an experience that just kind of opened me up to another level. We're all works in progress, always, always increasing our abilities and our consciousness. And on the flight home from this conference here, all of a sudden my guide said, write this down. And I pulled out my iPad and I started typing for a solid hour and 12 minutes. I remember it never stopped. And it was what life is like on the other side. And that was channeled. It's now in the book, Awakening, that was up there. And Dr. Ring read that bit of channeling and gave this quote, I don't think I have ever read a more astonishing document addressed to me in my life. I'm somewhere between awe and amazed. This is a man who's interviewed easily 2,000 people who have gone to the other side in a near-death experience. And the words from Sanaya, my guides, about what it is like on the other side stunned him. So that book, go back one, Awakening, it's free, right on my homepage, has that download, word for word. I go back and read it sometime and can feel the energy, and I love reading about the different levels that we can go. There I was in my home one day. Gosh, when would this have been? 6-7 years ago. And my neighbor, who knew that I was having fun playing with mediumship, it was very new, so it was probably about 8 years ago, she said, my sister's in town. Why don't the three of us get together and we'll just see who comes through? I said, oh, good, let's do it. So we get in a little study, we turn out the lights, the three of us are there, and all of a sudden her sister, something comes out of her mouth, some feminine voice that I didn't recognize, and I thought, is she making that up? What is that? You know? And then she got quiet, and then all of a sudden, in my mind, I hear and feel this masculine presence, and it says, speak. And I thought, oh, I don't know what that is. I don't know who this is. So I just was quiet. Next thing you know, I hear, speak. And I said mentally, about what? And he says, just speak. And I opened my mouth, and this deep Russian voice came out. And I just let it flow. And my friends later said they about fell off their chair. And we were recording it, but it was on a cassette tape. It was too garbled to save it. But I remember he said to them, you may ask me any questions you like. And they said, what is your name? And he said, you will call me Boris. And that became Boris is my guide. Anybody that follows my work, you know Boris. And then it shifted, and my head was pulled over here, and this female voice came out. And it was so stunning, and I knew, I kept saying, I'm not making this up. You know, that was the human side of me. The Navy officer always testing. And the three of us, when I came out of it, oh, it was so funny. The one woman, Jan, asked him a question, and he said, I have already answered that. It was just, it was funny. But I remember when they left the house, I was stunned. And I looked at my husband, Ty, and I said, I need to go for a walk. Come walk with me. And we were walking down our neighborhood street, and it was dark, and the moon had one of those surreal halos around it. And I just thought, my life will never again be the same. And it hasn't. Because it's like, let's do that again. And we got together, and then we brought my husband in. And that was a real leap of faith, because he's a retired destroyer captain. And to say, you have to watch what happens when I get out of the way. And they started talking through me. And little by little, we brought in more people. And we got this little group that we'd called, it was like a home circle. In British tradition, it's a development circle. But we came to love each other so deeply through these sessions that we held weekly. We changed the name to the Heart Circle. And then I began bringing through these guides for larger groups and larger groups. And tomorrow will probably be the largest group. 200 was the most I ever spoke for. But my guides have already said, what difference does it make to you? You're unconscious. So that's how it happened. And it was a tremendous test of trusting. My biggest worry in the beginning is people will think I'm weird. You can identify with that. Because when you see it, it's not me. It changes. I change. The gesture changes. The voice changes. And I would think, well, what if it stopped? The flow has never stopped. And once I get to the point where I surrender enough and they start, they're off and running. And it's beautiful. So the skeptic, absolutely, at first. I mean, this is me as aide to the chairman. And it says there, the world is black and white. So how do you explain this? The wisdom coming through from them, the teaching. What always got me was when they answer questions without hesitation. The flow is there. Many times answering a question before it's even out of people's mouth. That's what gets me. My little dog, Rudy, was one of the greatest helpers in convincing me that this is real. I was getting ready for a heart circle gathering, just about 7 people coming over to the house. But I was a little anxious or eager, so I went in my study to get in the right frame of mind, and I invited my guides, who call themselves Sanaya, to come in for the channeling session. But it was too early, so I went to sit in my living room, and my dog, Rudy, who was in his bed across the room, all of a sudden got out of the bed, sat in the middle of the floor, doing this. I said to my husband, look at Rudy. And he says, he sees something. And I said, or someone. They're gathering, just as I asked them to. And then Rudy jumped up on the couch, onto my lap, staring up over my left shoulder. And I silently said, whoever you are, move to my right shoulder. And just like that, Rudy went. That was it for me. I knew I couldn't make this up. I knew I wasn't faking it, but Rudy saw them. I'm like the blind medium. I don't see the spirit people out here objectively. In my mind's eye, they give me images, but I needed my dog to prove it to me. One of the other things that showed me, what I can assure you, that all is energy, and that when you call on your guides and your loved ones on the other side, or tap into to higher consciousness, you're tapping into a very high energy. And that's why you may feel a tingling or shaking. So I really love channeling. It feels wonderful. And I love the results. I love how it helps people heal. These ladies came up to me once where I live in Florida, and they said, by the way, everything's great in Florida where we live. Thank you. And we surround those who have trouble with lots of loving energy. But these ladies came up and said, there are 5 of us. Could we come over? Could you channel for us? And I said, well, normally I don't do this, but my husband's going out of town. Why don't you come over Wednesday? Not that Ty doesn't like it. I tried to find that balance. They can't be doing this all the time. I have to have a life with my husband. So having dinner with Ty, and I said, by the way, while you're at that meeting tonight, 5 ladies are coming over for channeling. And Jan, who was there the very first time, my neighbor, Jan is joining us too. And he said, why is Jan coming? And I replied without thinking, for safety. And I thought, why did I just say that? I never feel unsafe when I do this work, but it just came out of my mouth. So the ladies came over, and I told them what to expect. I told them, just like I'll tell everybody tomorrow, you are my battery chargers. You help raise the vibration so we can tune into the highest possible level. So focus on your heart and send love at me. So I go into the expanded state of awareness, and next thing you know, I am shaking as I feel Sanaya coming in, and I'm stuttering, and I went like this and fell off the chair onto Jan, who was there for safety. Fell right onto her, and I tried to stand up, and I couldn't get up. My legs were shaking so badly. I said, I don't like this. I don't know what's happening. You guys have to get me on that couch. And they had to get me under the arms, drag me across the room, and spread me out on the couch. And I'm shaking like the leaf. I said, I don't know how to get rid of this energy. And the one lady said, oh, we're all energy workers. We'll help you. And they're going like this and sweeping it out. And I start to calm down. As I calm down, I said, wait a minute. You guys are all energy workers? I said, when I told you to tune into your heart and send me love, you guys are trained in that. See? So my normal heart circle, we're normal people, you know, and we just send love. But this is like plugging a 110 cord into 220 outlet. That's what happened. All of a sudden, I got this full force of spirit, that vibration coming at me, and it knocked me off the chair. I called my original teacher, and she said, "You can't be messing around with that stuff." You know? So, Dad, I was burned out. I couldn't do it that evening. Burned out. So I know that this has happened in a couple of large gatherings where I start to stutter a little. It's okay. But a little bit too much, and Sanaya will say to the audience, "You must back it off a bit. The channel cannot handle the energy." And then people literally, to back it off. What does that show you? What does that teach you? This is a huge lesson. What you radiate from your heart is felt. It has an effect. So when Craig says, "Go out and heal the world after this conference," yeah, you can do that, one person at a time. So we decided to do an experiment with this. And we brought the heart circle in for the next session, and I said, "Jan, you be the conductor. And when I'm in the expanded state and Sanaya is here, you tell the rest of the members, turn up the love and see if there's an effect. And then turn down the love, simply by focusing on your heart." Bev, were you there for that?
No.
You weren't in the heart circle at that time. So Jan did that 3 times during the session, and every single time, I'm out of it. My eyes are closed, Sanaya's talking. I started stuttering and shaking. And when she went like this, it stopped. So then we tried it by Skype. I'm 3,000 miles away. The heart circle is back in Florida. I'm on the West Coast. They can see me on the screen. I can't see anything. I'm out of it. My husband's watching on the computer. Jan would go like that without any delay, because we all know there's entanglement and non-locality with quantum physics and all that good science. Same effect. Stuttering and shaking as each person opened their heart. So what's the point of this? All kinds of great energy lessons for us. Who is Sanaya? They are a collective consciousness of my guides. I felt them the first time right around my birthday on 2010. Boris is part of the group, but he's like a lower one. The rest of them are pretty high up, because the first time they stepped in, it felt both masculine and feminine, and I said, "Who are you?" And they said, "We are a collective consciousness of your guides. You will write and write and write as Sanaya." Well, I came out of that meditation and I went online and looked up Sanaya, and it's a Sanskrit name. It means eminent, distinguished, and of the gods. I thought that was an excellent name for a bunch of guides. It also means one worth knowing. But it wasn't until several years later I found out it's also a Muslim girl's name meaning flash of lightning, which is how my Susan was killed. So wow, indeed. Yeah. So from that day in August 2010, every single day, they've given me a message. They're online. I post them and send them by email every day. I have 2 books, not here, of their sayings, a year's worth. There's one book. But the messages come in meditation every morning. I sit, I get in the expanded state, and I say, "What is it that someone who reads your words will have to say?" And I either hear, pick up your pen, or my finger twitches, and I just start writing. I can open my eyes or not, it doesn't matter. I can tell their energy, I know it's their words. And it's really interesting, in the beginning when I had my eyes closed, just a little bit of evidence here, there was one day when they said, "Open your eyes." And I opened my eyes, I looked down, and my pen had run out of ink. They got the big picture. We don't want to waste a word here. Come on, change pens. And so it's several books of their words. And I love when people say, "Sanaya was speaking to me today. That's exactly what I needed to hear, today's message." It's on my Facebook page and by email and on the web, on my website. And the special sessions that I've done with Sanaya, like the channeling here that I'm going to do, we record them all, and they're all on my website. You can hear and feel the words. What I love is being able to get answers for people through channeling. You know, when in the large group sessions, we don't answer individual issues. Like, you know, what do I do about my child, my job, my love life? They answer philosophical type questions. But it's so wonderful to have people coming to me crying, "I need an answer." I know that I, Suzanne, don't have an answer any better than any of us. But we go up to Sanaya and say, "What's the answer?" And oh, they're just beautiful, and we can all learn to tap into that. So we speak to the large groups, and you can even have evidence come through in philosophical answers, but there was one time in the heart circle where one woman, I did allow personal questions in the heart circle, and she asked, my daughter is having trouble physically, and Sanaya interrupted her and said, diabetes. And then they explained why her daughter was having trouble and how to overcome it and the emotional component that led to that. And when I came out of the trance, the woman said, no, my daughter doesn't have diabetes, it's bronchitis. And I said, what do I know? You heard it from Sanaya. The very next morning, the woman called me and said, my daughter went to the doctor, you won't believe this. She called me and said, Mom, the blood test results came back. They checked my blood because I had bronchitis, but you won't believe it. I have diabetes. Yeah. But I have had people have spontaneous healings. I had a woman walk out of one of my sessions. She came up to me. She said, I've had facial paralysis, half of my face, for 33 years. And when I've walked out of here, it's gone and never came back. I've had people with aching shoulders and some neurological issues, gone. Now, this doesn't happen all the time, but when it does, what a blessing. But many people will find themselves tearing up. People will feel a loved one's hand physically on their shoulder. It's beautiful, the healing that takes place. So how does it work? Again, it's my belief that they will never let me down. That when I'm going to sit up here in front of several hundred people tomorrow, when I surrender enough and invite them in and open my mouth, their words are going to come out. And it always does. But it's a blending of energy. I become like you. I observe the whole thing in my mind's eye. I hear what they're saying. Even as the words nonstop are coming out of my mouth, I'm thinking, oh, they never talked about that before. Oh, that's a new analogy. It's just like I'm sitting in the audience, and it's fascinating. I believe that those on the other side have to lower their vibration to match mine, which is why the audience's love is so important to help me raise my vibration. Okay, I have to slow down my brain waves enough. Right now, if I hooked me up to an EEG, I'd be radiating beta waves. I have to go beyond alpha to theta waves. And I trained myself to do that. I listened to music that was specifically with the beats to get you to that deeper state of meditation. And I'm really excited because, how many of you have heard of HemiSync? HemiSync CDs. The folks that do HemiSync invited me to do a whole mediumship series. And I went out to Virginia and recorded the first set, and it's mediumship, the training ground. And Sanaya actually dictated the words for two CDs to train you to recognize alpha state and then the theta state. And if you do that often enough, you can enter each state at will. Okay. Oh. So people like coming to the Sanaya sessions for the experience. That's what it's all about. Not only what we learn, but experiencing the presence of spirit. You can feel it. You can see spirit many times. But I remember standing outside one of the recreation centers where I live in Florida, and this woman came up to me and she said, oh, is there a Sanaya session tonight? One for the community, the big one. Is there a Sanaya session tonight? And I said, yeah, there is. And she looked at me, she said, will you be there? To me, that was like the greatest compliment. Because they don't come to see me, right? They come to hear Sanaya. I said, yeah, I think I need to be there. So where do I go? I just get out of the way. The Suzanne story goes and sits in the chair, and we just go to merge with Sanaya. That's it. And it is a beautiful state to be in. This is from an Edgar Cayce book that I read, a description of where we all go when we tap into higher consciousness. We, in our human form, our conscious mind is represented by the dark area at the bottom, physical waking consciousness. But we all have subconscious thoughts that we can access in a hypnotic state, correct? But if you can push through that to the superconscious, universal awareness, that's where we all are one. That's where we blend with all that is. And that's where I meet Sanaya, right there. So you can imagine, you think as an aide to the chairman, as a former protocol officer for the head of the Navy, you think I prepare a little bit for things? You think? The thing about the channeling is, I can't prepare for this. Other than my daily meditation of knowing how to get into that state rapidly and hold it. Hold it while people are coughing. Hold it while somebody might walk in the door. Hold it while somebody's phone goes off. I can do that. But I have no idea what they're going to talk about tomorrow. And that's something you can't prepare for. That's a leap of faith that just says, well, I want to see what they have to say too. So it's a whole different ballgame for me. I just recently was told by Sanaya, go to a studio with this composer that I heard at a workshop, and you two will create a channeled session. He will channel music, you will channel us. So we went into the studio, and it was only that morning that Sanaya said, and we will call it the Journey of Remembrance. And it was channeled on the spot, and it still lifts me every time I hear it. So it's just wonderful when you trust what's coming through. I was at a conference speaking with Dr. Eben Alexander at a conference in Greece, an afterlife conference. And several of us stayed over for an extra week, this motley group there. That's my husband on the far right. That's Ty. So you see, there was one other man in the group. And I said, hey, now that the conference is over and we're all together for another week, how about I channel Sanaya midweek? So everybody's excited, me too, because I love experiencing Sanaya. And we get together, and the one guy, Mark, is not there. And we said to his wife, Ann, where's Mark? No, he's not into this. And everybody's like, no, get Mark, you got to get Mark, bring him in here. Well, it turns out Mark was like the biggest skeptic. He said, nah, I'm not into that. I'm not going to watch. That's too weird for me. Well, he came in, and Sanaya usually talks for about 30 minutes and takes some questions. And they said at that time, and we will answer your questions if you have them. And several people asked questions. Mark asked a question. And as always, the answer was immediate and fluent and went on and on and on. And when I came out of the session, of the whole group, Mark was like deer in the headlights look. He said, I spent the whole first half hour wondering, did she memorize this? You know, did she memorize every word of that? But he said, when they answered the questions, that's when I could no longer explain this phenomenon, because you couldn't memorize those questions, the answers. And I was like, well, Mark, I told you, can't make this up. So what is it like for those who attend? I've pretty much touched on this already, but I love sharing it because you will all feel the temperature instantly goes up. Some people talk about when spirits come in the room, it gets cold, but it gets warm when Sanaya comes in. And when they say, we bid you good night, boom, the room gets cooler. It's amazing. You may feel tingling. You may feel that hand. If I have a white screen behind me, some people who have never seen auras may see auras. People see colors. People see orbs that come and just settle right over me. It's very experiential. So that's why I love doing this, to offer that opportunity. So hope you'll join me. And what's it like for others who attend, like my family? This is Ty when I was promoted to commander, and then my mom and dad there. For Ty, it was very unusual to see his wife doing that, but he knows I don't lie. He knows I'm a terrible actress and can't make up anything. So the very first time, when I came out of it, he said, that's not you, Suzanne. And he was a believer beyond belief. But one time we took my mom, who just turned 90, she was probably about, well, I don't know, I could do the math, but she was in her 80s there. She's so funny and innocent. They put her in the front row at one of these big channeling sessions. And finally, after it was over, I said, anybody want to share anything? And somebody raised their hand. And they said, we want to ask your mother, what's it like for you to see your daughter doing that? And this was her exact quote. We didn't raise you that way, Susie. Actually, they raised me with no religion, no spirituality. I had nothing to undo, no beliefs to say this is wrong. What does this mean to you? The whole point. We're spiritual beings created in God's image, God being spirit, all that is. The spirit of God lives within each person. That's straight off some New Thought church, and I hesitate to use the word God only because for many people that has some old fears and beliefs and limitations in it, that I can't do this or I'm not worthy. If we replace the word God with love or spirit, read it again. Created in the image of love, the spirit of love lives within each person. You will feel that tomorrow. For me, I've never used drugs, but it's got to be what being high is like. Okay? It is the greatest high. And when I come out of it, it's just, whew. and I'm not drained until later. I'll just float out of here. This reality is only one of limitless realities, and we get to experience those who are in the greater reality and what they have to show us from their perspective. Meditation, sitting in the silence, training your mind to be quiet is key to tapping into this. All of you can do that. And love is the highest vibration. So can anyone do it? Yes. Is it your calling? That's the big question. For me, it happened spontaneously, but only after I had been meditating daily and experiencing deep meditation for several years. Okay? So we all walk in both worlds at once. It's right here, right now. I don't go anywhere. I don't have to go. They don't really come from anywhere. It's a shift in focus with intention, and the two worlds merge. It's a commitment to make that connection. And I channeled last week at one of my serving spirit classes. I teach mediumship, and Sanaya said, and we will teach one module every class. So I got to channel them last week, and it's like, oh, good. All right, we're ready for next week. So we'll go into the guidelines tomorrow. There are certain things, like we're going to put guards at the door so people aren't banging in and out, make sure your phones are off. But I hope you'll join me tomorrow. I hope I've given you just a taste. Anybody looking forward to it? I am. All right. Thank you. Yeah. They've lined up a wonderful, wonderful group of speakers here. I'm so excited to be here and be with all of you. So thank you. All right.
Thank you.
Was a track called Magic Love from a guy called Herb Elmst. Now, our friend Patricia Coda Robles, of course, she channels every week, and today's no exception. This one's called The Positive Effect of the Law of the Circle.
Last week we learned about the Law of the Circle and the fact that this universal law is instrumental in determining the various things that are taking place in our lives, both good and bad. Today, the beings of light want to take this teaching to the next level. They are striving to inspire us to be more committed and more disciplined in the way we choose to use our precious gift of life and our creative faculties of thought and feeling. For those of us abiding on Earth, the law of the circle is like the law of gravity. Even though we may not understand the laws of physics or comprehend just how gravity works, we are all subject to it just the same. It is immaterial whether or not we believe in gravity. If we jump off of a roof, we are going to fall to the ground. It is just that simple. The law of the circle is like gravity. It does not matter whether or not we believe that every single thought, feeling, word, or action we express goes out into the world on an electromagnetic current of energy, like a radio or television wave, and then returns to us through our everyday life experiences. But that is exactly what is happening, scientifically to the letter, with every breath we take. Anything that is manifesting in our life that is less than the wonders of heaven on earth is a human miscreation. These challenging and often painful things are being returned to us through the law of this circle so that we can experience the results of our actions and transmute back into light the precious electronic light substance that we misused at one time or another. The negative things that are occurring in our daily lives were either deliberately or inadvertently created during our earthly sojourn. When we made the free will choice to express our thoughts and feelings in ways that were not based in love. During this cosmic moment, you and I and the rest of humanity are awakening. We are remembering who we are and why we volunteered to be on Earth to assist with the monumental event of Earth's ascension process that we are now experiencing. Daily and hourly, the light of God is increasing on this planet. Humanity is being raised up in energy, vibration, and consciousness by our I Am presence, the maximum we can withstand in every 24-hour period. With this divine intervention, each and every one of us now has the ability to reverse the adverse effects of our fall from grace. This means that at long last, the sons and daughters of God are once again destined to co-create heaven on earth. We just need to perceive the bigger picture of how we got into this mess in the first place. The first thing we need to remember is how our Father, Mother, God intended for the law of the circle to work while we were learning to become co-creators. At this point in our evolutionary process, we are so used to dealing with pain and suffering in our individual and collective lives that it is difficult for us to even fathom that there was ever a time when these horrific things didn't exist. But there was such a time, prior to our fall from grace. In the beginning, the law of the circle was always a joyous experience, and it functioned as God intended. Moment by moment, our I Am presence gratefully received our life force from our Father, Mother, God, and breathed this intelligent light substance through our crown chakra and into our heart flame. Once this intelligent light entered the divinity of our immortal victorious threefold flame, it was stamped with our individual electronic light pattern. This electronic light pattern is unique for every child of God, and it is given to us at our inception by our God parents. This unique pattern is how the universe knows what energy belongs to whom, and it is how the law of the circle is flawlessly accomplished for every son and daughter of God. Once our life force was imprinted with our individual pattern, the atomic and subatomic particles and waves of energy contained within this gift of life were available for us to use as we went about the business of our daily lives, learning to become co-creators with our God parents. We would observe the patterns of perfection in the causal body of God, and then through our unique ways of thinking and feeling, we would use those patterns and our free will to co-create new and previously unknown patterns of perfection. Since we had not created any painful human miscreations yet, we were able to focus our attention exclusively on expanding the borders of heaven on earth, as our Father, Mother, God intended. With every thought, feeling, word, or action we expressed, our life force flowed forth from us on an electromagnetic current of energy, very similar to the way radio and television waves pass through the atmosphere. Our current of energy reverberated with whatever frequency of vibration we charged it with, depending on our frame of mind and the way we were feeling at the time. As our current of energy traveled to its destination, it accumulated other energy along the way that was vibrating at the same frequency. Like attracts like. For instance, if we were sending love to someone, our current of love magnetized other currents of love to itself as it traveled along the way. By the time our current of love reached the person we were thinking of, it was vibrating at a much more powerful frequency of love than we originally sent out. Our current of love blessed the person in ways that were in alignment with his or her divine plan. And then this loving expression of our life force began its journey back to us and ultimately to our Father, Mother, God, thus fulfilling the law of the circle. The first phase of our life force's journey is called involution. The involution of our life force begins in the heart of God, then passes through our heart flame, and culminates when our life force reaches the furthest point of its destination once we send it forth into the physical world of form through our thoughts and feelings. After this intelligent electronic light substance completes the path of involution, it must then return to our Father, Mother, God, the source of all that is. The return phase is called evolution. Involution and evolution are the dual activities of life that reflect the law of the circle, the out-breath and the in-breath of God. On the return evolutionary path, our current of love is magnetized back to its identical electronic light pattern, which is pulsating within our heart flame. Once again, on the return journey, our current of love accumulates other frequencies of love along the way. By the time our current of love returns to us, it is greatly magnified over what we originally sent out. As a result of this amplification, it is possible that the positive energy magnetized to our original expression of love gathered enough momentum on its return journey to manifest in our life as a healing, or a financial success, or a new friendship, or a success in our job, or myriad other seemingly unrelated things. This is the divine potential of all of the positive thoughts, words, actions, and feelings we express every day. After our positively qualified, intelligent life force returns to our heart flame, and we tangibly experience whatever blessings were co-created through our expression of love, our I Am presence is responsible for returning that energy back to the heart of our Father, Mother, God. This process completes the law of the circle. When our life force is qualified positively, this process works perfectly. If, however, we charge the intelligent electronic light from our life force with negative thoughts, feelings, words, and actions, everything changes. The important thing the beings of light want us to contemplate this week is the fact that when the intelligent electronic light substance from our gift of life returns to us on its evolutionary path, it can only pass through our heart flame and return to our Father, Mother, God if it is vibrating with the same or a higher frequency of light than when we originally received it. Love, of course, fulfills that requirement, and so do many other positive things that we might empower with our thoughts, feelings, words, and actions. But how many times, every day, are we obliviously using our precious gift of intelligent life force to empower things that are not based in love or the pure and perfect frequencies of God's light? Next week's vlog, The Company of Heaven, is going to address that question. God bless you, dear one. Pay attention this week and see if the things you are co-creating every moment with your thoughts and feelings are qualified with enough love and light to easily pass through your heart flame on their journey back to the heart of God. Thank you.
So, keeping with the circular theme, that's Geoffrey Clarkson and round we go. Now, Patricia Coda Robles, as she said, next week is going to talk about the second part. Well, it's next week already, as it turns out, because this part is called Reversing the Negative Effects of the Law of the Circle.
In our last vlog, the beings of light reminded us how our Father, Mother, God intended for the law of the circle to work during our earthly lives as we learn to become co-creators with our God parents. This week, we're going to learn how the law of the circle affects us in adverse ways once we made that fateful decision to experiment with our intelligent life force in ways that were not based in love. Remember, prior to our tragic decision to misuse our life force, our gift of life flowed forth from our heart flame on electromagnetic currents of energy qualified with positive thoughts, feelings, words, and actions. After completing its involutionary journey into the world of form, our life force began its evolutionary journey back to our heart flame, bringing with it the wonderful experiences that were co-created as a result of our positive behavior. After our life force returned to our heart flame and we experienced the blessings and the positive results of our actions, our I Am presence returned that positively qualified energy back to the heart of our Father, Mother, God. That event completed the law of the circle. When we decided to experiment with our gift of life and began misqualifying the intelligent electronic light substance from our life force with thoughts, feelings, words, and actions that were not based in love, everything changed. That is because our life force can only pass through our heart flame and return to our Father, Mother, God if it is vibrating with the same or a higher frequency of light than when we originally received it. What the Company of Heaven want us to clearly understand at this time is what happens to the returning electronic light from our gift of life once it has been misqualified with negative thoughts and feelings. That sacred knowledge is a vitally important part of the bigger picture, and it explains why in the world we are in the mess we are in, and why it seems as though terrible things are happening to good people. Thoughts and feelings that are not based in love include anything that does not reflect love, oneness, and reverence for all life. Just for a moment, think about your own life and the things that you are witnessing every day in the world. How much of what you are perceiving is reflecting love, oneness, and reverence for all life? If you are like most people, probably not nearly enough. Everything we see that is in any way associated with fear, anxiety, incivility, hatred, judgment, greed, corruption, violence, crime, poverty, the abuse of power, war, disease, meanness, disrespect, ignorance, prejudice, religious fanaticism, terrorism, or any other form of pain and suffering is a human miscreation that is not based in love. The energy associated with these human miscreations cannot return to the heart of our Father, Mother, God once it returns to the heart flame of the person who sent it forth in the first place. So what happens to the grossly mutated electronic light substance that our Father, Mother, God originally gave to us as our precious gift of life? Well, since that dense and grossly distorted intelligent electronic light cannot return to the heart of God in that form, it manifests in our everyday life experiences in painful ways that allow us to experience the results of our actions. The hope is that we will realize how self-destructive it is for us to misuse our life force and that we will learn to not do that again. Once the lesson is learned, we have the ability to invoke the violet flame of God's infinite perfection and transmute that misqualified energy back into its original perfection. Then that portion of our life force can return to the heart of our Father, Mother, God, thus completing its journey through the law of the circle. The problem is that when this heavy, discordant energy returns to us, it is greatly amplified over what we originally sent out. Like our positive thoughts and feelings, our negative thoughts and feelings accumulate energy along the way that is vibrating at the same frequency. Like attracts like. On the involutionary journey, our misqualified current of energy enters the space of the person, place, condition, or thing we were thinking of when we sent it forth, and creates whatever learning experience is appropriate in that moment. Then, on the evolutionary journey back to our heart flame, our current of misqualified energy accumulates more discordant energy along the way. When we observe the horrific things that are happening in the world at this time, it is easy to see why things seem to be so out of proportion. Just look at the tons of negative and fear-based energy that is being expressed by the masses of humanity every single day. All of that energy is reverberating through the atmosphere, and it is being drawn to our own electromagnetic current of negative thoughts, feelings, words, and actions. With so much pain and suffering in the world, it is truly amazing that we can even get out of bed in the morning with all of the negative energy that is returning to us. Remember, this energy is returning to us not only from this lifetime, but from hundreds of previous lifetimes we have experienced since our fall from grace. By the time this greatly amplified energy returns to us, it often manifests as all kinds of unrecognizable things. It could manifest as a car accident, a financial challenge, a dysfunctional relationship, a health problem, a family problem, or myriad other things that do not seem like they could possibly be our own miscreations. To complicate the problem even further, for eons of time, our fragmented human ego has manipulated us into believing that we are victims and that both the good and the bad things that are happening in our lives are just a coincidence and don't have anything to do with our behavior. This fragmented and fear-based level of our fallen consciousness knew that if we awakened and gave the power it usurped from us back to our I Am presence, it would no longer be able to manipulate us through fear and anxiety. Well, guess what? That is exactly what has happened over the past several years. We are awakening, and our I Am presence is once again taking full dominion of our life. Our human ego is no longer in charge. That is what has brought us to this unprecedented moment in time during which we are experiencing the most intensified purging process that humanity has ever been able to withstand. Our I Am presence is pushing hundreds of lifetimes worth of our returning misqualified energy to the surface to be transmuted back into light. This is enabling this precious electronic light substance to return to the heart of our Father, Mother, God, so that it can complete the law of the circle. We are not being punished for our past transgressions, and the cleansing process would not be occurring at this pace if it was going to cause more harm than good. This unique purging process is being allowed by our Father, Mother, God, because millions of people are now awake, and they remember who they are and why they are here. They know what their responsibility is for what is happening on Earth at this time, and they remember that they volunteered to transmute lifetimes worth of misqualified energy back into light in what the Company of Heaven has referred to as the twinkling of an eye. So this week, contemplate the challenging things that are returning to you through your daily experiences in order to be healed and transmuted back into light. Ask your I Am presence to help you learn the lessons involved in that returning energy. Then invoke the violet flame of God's infinite perfection to help you quickly transmute the negative energy from your past that is causing those challenging experiences. You have been training for lifetimes so that you will be able to do this, and you have everything you need within you to be God victorious. Trust yourself and know that your I Am presence is in charge. Next week, the Company of Heaven will help you to perceive the progress you are making, even though that progress may not be obvious to you at the moment. God bless you, dear one, and I wish you a powerful week of transmuting past and present negativity by invoking the violet flame.
I am so grateful for all that I have. I am so blessed. I am so blessed. I am so grateful. I am so blessed. I am so blessed. I am so blessed. I am so grateful for all that I have. I am so blessed, I am so blessed, I am so grateful, I am so blessed, I am so blessed, I am so blessed, I am so grateful for all that I have. I am so blessed, I am so blessed. I am so grateful, I am so blessed, I am so blessed. I am so blessed. I am. grateful. I am so blessed. I am so grateful. I am blessed.
So, Karen Drucker and I Am Blessed. Now, we're also blessed at Infinity Spiritual Centre in Anglesey Street because we've got Annie Donald with us. Hi, Annie.
Hi, how are you?
All righty.
Good.
Now, Annie's here Tuesdays and Thursdays. So tell us, Annie, what are you doing on Tuesdays and Thursdays?
I do runes.
Runes?
Runes. Yes, runes. They are a they're a really old oracle. They actually go back further than the I Ching coin, I did find out as I was studying them. They were used initially for the wayseers of the old day to create cardiographs. So the wayseer would peel the bark off a yew tree and he would inscript designs into the bark and he would scatter them on the ground, and then with that he would create a map. So if they were going from Ireland to London, these men in full faith would hop on the ship with full faith. That's just trippy on its own. And then use this map that he had created from the symbols to get them all the way to London, and they'd get to London. So there's something very, very sacredly magical here, because it is part and parcel of the self-believing in the something, if you want to put it that way. That's, it doesn't necessarily have to be runes. There has to be something innately in the self that says, I'm open to this, that I believe in this, or that I believe that this can help me go forward and give me direction, first and foremost. The runes are all about the self. You don't come and ask the runes, am I going to win lotto next week? You don't ask the runes, is this the right man for me? What you would ask the runes is, what do I need to learn about me to be the best person I can be for this said man? Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah.
So the old school side of the runes were not so much used as a divination tool. They were actually used because they were the alphabet. They were illiterate people. A bit like holograph things. You know the word I'm trying to... the ones that scribbled stuff they did on the caves back in the day.
They'd
draw pictures. Holographs, that's it. And so the runes were actually the alphabet. So you could spell your name out with the runes. And so they used to use it as a dialect. So they would be able to, you know, communicate with each other. And especially the sounds of how the runes are spoken. There's a guy on the radio called Jack Crawford, if anyone wants to look him up. He's a old philology type person that knows so much about the runes and their history. And the neat thing I find, Barry, is that I say to my clients, if they come in and they have a session, I say, look, I believe in the magic so strongly that if we do not get down to the core of what's going on with you as we're going through our sessions, I'll give you your money back. Because that's how much I know these runes will do what they need to do. And you know what? Not one person's ever asked for their money back. So that's got to be a good thing. But yeah, they are something, you know, sides of that. Spirit can come through if they want to. You know, like runes are relatively new. I've had them in my life for a long, long time. My kids used to use them.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like I can remember my eldest boy hated his math teacher with a passion. He said, what do I say? And I said, well, you just say to the runes, what do I need to learn to be my best self? And he goes, yeah, but it's not about me, it's about him. And I was like, well, actually, son, it's about you. So anyway, he pulled the rune, and the rune he pulled gave him description of, see what you want to see created already. It's a bit like you're manifesting something that's not even there yet, but you're going to see it and it's going to happen. So with that, he came out and he needed a bit of a discussion around the dialect of the runes, because they're a bit hard to understand. And so we sat down with it, and I said to him, you know, I remember Mum used to say to me years ago, the best way to deal with people that you dislike is ask God to bless them with a brick. Well, he laughed his head off. So he was riding on the bike to school, and he was thinking about being his best self. So when he'd walk into the teacher and he'd say, good morning, sir, the teacher would ignore him normally. Okay, so this particular morning he was like, right, so when I get there, I'm going to be really loud and proud and walk in and say, good morning, sir. And the teacher swung around and said, good morning, Josh. And Josh just about fell over. He was like, whoa, that's freaky. And so he had actually manifested his own desire in it. Yep. So the runes talk about that. They talk about that we create our own magic. And I have got no words to explain how truly magical they are, especially when you're asking of yourself and then the runes tell you what it is and then you go, oh, no, I don't. No. But that's the truth of it. We've got to get down and get jiggy with it in ourselves to know what we need to, what's the word, what we need to do to change us, to change externally.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. The other thing that really surprises me about them is you can have different spreads or different, very much like a tarot setup, and they can go on and on and on. Like you can pull one rune, which is a normal read for me, but then we can get stuck halfway through the read and the person's going, you know, I really need to know whatever that is. And I say, okay, pull another one. And it's every time, mate, you never, ever goes wrong, that the next rune they pull out is exactly what is needed for the medicine at that time. And then the person even looks at me and goes, what the heck? And I go, I know, right? This is what it's all about. So we innately already know. I mean, they're putting a hand in a bag and pulling out a rock or a stone with a symbol on it. And even to this day, right, I still go, inside my head, because as soon as they pull it out, like say for example there's one called Haligaz, and Haligaz is all about hail and brimstone and it's about disruption and blow-ups in your life, and the person pulls it and you see it on the table and they go, wow, okay, well, yep, I already know now what this reads about just by looking at that one rune. And then as you describe it, the person sits there and goes, what the heck? How did that even? And I was like, mate, I don't know. At the end of the day, I just believe it's full faith. And it's been, again, like the wayseers back in the day, they trusted them so much that they would hop on a ship, mate, and they would take all their men across the water, knowing in full faith that they would get to the other side. They never questioned and go, oh, actually, wayseer, are you sure you got this map right? You know, are you sure you're going to get us there? They would. Just in full faith. And so I think a lot of the learning that I have found in working with them is me having that full faith trust. That as soon as they touch those runes, that magic begins.
Yeah.
And then they get a buzz, and then I'm quietly, you know, because I've got to act real cool. You know, this is just normal. But inside I'm going, yes, yes, because it does.
Yeah.
And it's fun. And it's, you know, the amount of people that have walked out and they've gone, oh my gosh, that was so amazing. And I'm like, yeah, I know. And it is. That never ceases. And then if you get lucky, you might even have spirit pop in to add their 10 cents worth also. I mean, I haven't always just worked, I've worked with spirit for many years, as you know, Basil. So, Barry. Anyway, moving on. the runes are just a little kitty that I pull out and use. But overall, they are so magical and they are so bang on. Do you know what I mean? I don't know about that. The person's jaw's hanging down at the table going, what the heck? How does this even work? And it's like, well, you could sit here and we could try and work this out, but trust me, we'll be here for a long time. I've played with these runes for many, many eons and they're always perfectly right, bang on.
Fair enough.
How cool is that, man?
Yeah, brilliant.
We'll have to pull one.
Yeah.
Hey. Well, and then I'll interview you.
No, thanks, Andy. That was brilliant. Yeah, I mean, it's all trusting, eh?
Yeah, it is.
Trust it to spirit.
And trusting the self.
Yeah.
Which is more importantly. Thanks for having me, bro.
Thank you very much. See you soon.
All right. Bye.
So, as you heard, Annie is available on Tuesdays and Thursdays at Infinity Anglesey in 550 Anglesey Street. So you can come and get a rune reading and find out about your future or questions you're asking about. Now, tonight we have our meditation. So it's our fortnightly meditation. So you can come along and join Susan Geisman and meditate and go somewhere else and see what comes through for you. So that's tonight, 6 o'clock at Infinity Spiritual Center.
I got the power, you got the power, we got the power. I got the power, you got the power, we got the power. I got the power, you got the power, we got the power. I got the power, you got the power, we got the power.
Hi, I'm Barry. It's been The Voice Within. Kakite, shalom, namaste, masalam. May your God go with you.
For more episodes, use the accessmedia.nz app for iOS and Android devices, or subscribe to this podcast via Spotify, iHeartRadio, or Apple Podcasts. This free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.